Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, moving on. You know, we get some insight, somewhat of an insight from Downton Abbey about what it's like to work in the service industry. Certainly you would if it's the early 20th century, but it's not always as upstairs, downstairs as you might like to think. If you're clever about where you work, life as an au pair or housekeeper can help you to see the world as well as being financially lucrative. So we're joined by Alec Barrett now, and he worked on yachts that have been chartered by the rich and famous. He did it for a year. Good morning to you, Alec.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you. How did you get into this lifestyle of the rich and famous and the yachts of the Riviera?
Good question. I kind of fell into it. Basically, a couple of friends had started their careers in it and were just telling me about it through sort of Facebook chat and emails and said, why didn't you come and give it a go? It was sort of no sailing experience. I went to do the relevant courses. I went and joined them out in Palma, Mallorca, and we just took it from there.
And when we're talking about these yachts, are they freaking enormous, or are they?
All shapes and sizes. So you had the big super yachts, which could be up to sort of 150 meters, and you'd sort of smaller sail yachts, various different types. I think, given that I've no sailing experience, the ones I kind of targeted were the motor yachts, or the white boats, as they're sometimes known.
Did you have good little sea legs?
I did eventually. I mean, after the first sort of couple of days at sea, after getting my first job, it was okay, yeah.
Good. So you went to Mallorca, and how long did you land there, to stay there?
So the way it worked is, for about a month, myself and my friends, we go down to the docks every morning. And just asked for day work. We just asked to speak to the captain and see if they needed a hand that day. And that way we were able to build up our CV a bit and get a bit of experience and an insight as to how that would work. And so that would obviously be when the owners of the boats weren't on. And we'd go on then and just help them with whatever needed to be done. And that kind of kept us ticking over while we were out there. And then after about a month, a job popped up. And went in for the interview and got it. And but I think it was about 4 weeks later I found myself out in Dubai then.
All by sea, travelling around the world.
That's right, yeah.
Wow. So what job? Are you kind of wearing a white gloves and a white jacket? Are you like servant, essentially?
When the boss wasn't on board, we would just be in sort of crew shorts and T-shirt, and we'd have our radios in. And then when the boss was on, we were a bit more, we were looking a bit more slick. We kind of had our crew uniform or what would have been known as our charter uniform.
Yeah.
We didn't have the gloves and that sort of thing on. But the girls who worked in the interior, I think, at various points they would have. But outside, we were a bit more sort of hands-on, yeah.
And what was your typical day? What were you doing on the boats?
Very different bosses on. We'd sort of be taking him maybe water skiing or jet skiing, or taking them out in the little tenders sort of from the big boat to the shore, if that makes sense.
Yes,
through at anchor. And then, we'd just be, on the swim platform if they're swimming around the boat. We'd be helping to manoeuvre the boat, so we might, as a deckhand, we'd be on lookout duty while the captain or an officer of the watch was driving the boat. And then if he wasn't on, we were just doing maintenance and repairs and cleaning the boat, essentially sort of keeping the salt off something which stays in the sea. So it was a sort of full-time gig, just...
Of course.
Yeah, keeping her looking fresh.
How much would the boat you were working on be worth?
My last boat I worked on was about 150 million.
For the boat itself alone?
Yeah. And then, I think the normal sort of thing would be about 10% of that a year. For your upkeep, the salaries and all of that, and petrol, and considerable cost.
Who owns these boats? I mean, what sort of businessman?
I can't say exact names, but my last owner would have been a very, very wealthy Russian guy. And then the one before that, I worked on two boats over sort of 2 years. The year before was a very wealthy Englishman. They were interesting characters anyway.
And do you sleep on the boat in a given night, or do you go off?
No, absolutely, yeah. We'd sleep downstairs, yeah. We had our own cabins. But our own cabins, I say, I'd shared with two other lads, two of the other deckhands. But we were very well looked after. I was thinking about it, with Sky Sports and a flat screen at the end of our beds, and We didn't need anything. Everything was supplied for us. We had our laundry done every day. And even down to things like our toothbrushes and razor blades are supplied for us.
God, okay. So all luxuries guaranteed. In terms of chartering the boat then, let's say the guy who owns it isn't there all the time, so he says, okay, you can how much would he hire it out for a week?
Depending, you know, again, on the size and the value of the boat. You know, I think one of the boats I worked on, the first one, which wouldn't have been the most valuable one, would have been about $250,000 a week, and that wouldn't have included petrol or the cost for the staff.
And what is the staff cost? How much would you have come out of after that?
We'd have been, as deckhands, we'd have been on a salary of about $3,000 a month, and that would have all been tax-free. But then, I think, you know, when you're on charter, and I didn't do any charters, so I'm not this wealthy, but yeah, on charter you get about $2,000 to $3,000 tax-free, just cash.
Gosh.
A week. Yeah,
a week?
Per week, but as I say, I needed a couple of them in my time. You know, some guys would do a full season, say, and they might do 10 charters back to back, and they'd be absolutely wrecked by the end of it. They might get 4 to 8 hours sleep a night for the whole summer, but yeah, they'd come out of it very wealthy.
Very wealthy. Tips?
Yeah, that was tips, and then you get your salary on top of that, yeah.
So were tips generous?
They were the tips. I mean, you'd hear stories, some guys would get tips of 20,000 and stuff, but you'd hear things that would make you a bit jealous, all right. But no, yeah, your average tip for a charter would have been, you know, between 2,000 to 3,000 for a week's work, yeah.
What would you be tipped for doing? Like, would they throw you hundreds and 500s?
No, I think it was basically just that sort of American mentality with tipping. So they chartered the boat, and then they felt they have to pay the staff on top of that. I mean, as I said, we had our salary, but they'd always feel it necessary to tip sort of 10% of the value of the boat between. So if there's a crew of 10 and the boat charters for $250,000, they'd be looking at, you know, dividing that up between the 10 of them.
Now, the Russian oligarchs, let's talk parties. A good chartered yacht for a weekend or a week with a Russian oligarch means what? Tell us about that party. And how jealous are we that we weren't invited?
You'd have been pretty jealous,
yeah.
Ryan. It was pretty sick.
Well,
he had his island rented, a private island in the Maldives, and then he had our motor yacht rented, and then he had another motor yacht rented as well. So he was actually kind of only on our boat for lunch and that, and then he'd go back to the island and party. But yeah, it was good. I mean, he'd have... this wasn't actually the owner. This was when it was chartered out once. It was another wealthy Russian guy, and he had him and his 5 friends on, and about 29 Russian supermodels, all walking around scantily clad, and just, yeah, everything, sort of real lads' holiday, everything you could imagine.
Five lads and a Russian politician, and 29 models. I'm just doing the maths there. That was some weekend.
That was interesting, yeah.
And what are they drinking?
Well, just as you could imagine, anything they wanted, really. I mean, there was champagne everywhere, obviously, and all of the finest sort of labels and brands of alcohol that you could imagine, yeah, and everything would have been to the nth degree.
And I presume there's just shenanigans everywhere you look.
No, in fairness, in terms of shenanigans, they kind of kept that away from
us. Did they?
It wasn't that open, but it was certainly taking place, and everyone was aware of that, yeah.
Well, I mean, 29 models and 5 fellas in a weekend away, you must be kidding me.
Yeah.
Did you get treated well, or were you very much the help?
No, treated very well. Personally, never had any moments where we felt we were being mistreated. No, I think we were... Yeah, I think maybe lucky with their owners. We did hear other stories. I mean, the fun thing about it was while I was kind of out in this part of the world, I was keeping in touch with the lads who I went out with originally and hearing their stories. And I think, you know, a couple of them might have had some dodgy experiences, but I personally was quite lucky, yeah.
You're very lucky the day you went in to clean the showers with the Russian.
Well, no, that was, on the charter, and I was just laughing about that. When I was talking about it with friends there, I was standing on the swim platform and the shower broke, and next thing I knew, I was going in the shower with the Russian supermodel, having her ask me to help fix it. So that was interesting.
What was she wearing?
Just a thong at the time.
Yeah, you're still thinking about that by the sounds of it. what about the danger, hazards of the job? I mean, we talked about, we saw Captain Phillips and enjoyed that, and the Somali pirates and on the high seas. And I mean, that's an issue too, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's how I got my first job, because no one wanted to go down on that boat through the Gulf of Aden. So I kind of did my research and realised that no private vessel with security had been taken, and we had security, so I was happy enough to go ahead and take that. But yeah, sure enough, on the way down then, I was on lookout, and eventually looked out. It was difficult to spot the little skiff boats, as they're known, that the pirates use. But yeah, eventually we realised there was about 8 of them coming towards the boat. So we had done our drills and stuff, and we hit the button, went down into the lockdown situation. I grabbed the sandwiches in the water, and the security job, or the security guards, did their job very well, and they all dispersed and went back to pretending they were fishermen again.
Gosh, so the security guys, what, guns out, lads, don't mess with us, and they're gone.
Yeah, well, I think it's very much a policy that they can't fire unless fired upon. Mm-hmm. So it was a warning flare first, and then, it was all fine, really. I think as soon as they saw that we had security, they were up on a big, stable vessel, and they're on a little bouncy one with weapons that wouldn't be as good or as accurate, and our guys are all sort of ex-SAS. I think they just conceded defeat and less, yeah.
So you did 2 years of this. Why did you come home then?
Well, I mean, I loved it, and I loved the sense of sort of not necessarily knowing where you're going to be in about a week or two, and I was glad of the salary, that was great, but I just decided ultimately, you know, I wanted to be at home with my family and friends. I didn't really have the passion required to go and make a career out of it. For me, the yachts were just an experience and something I wanted to do.
God, you got some experience. So what are you to nowadays? Yeah. What business are you?
Studying out in Smurfit, and doing a master's in digital marketing, which couldn't really be any more different.
But what a brilliant though life experience, you know, for a young fella just out of college or you know, doing what he's doing. Where would people go if they wanted to take this as a year in their lives, as their younger listener?
Yeah, I think, well, there's two places you can start. You can go really, well, in Europe, you can go to Palma, Mallorca, or you can go to Antibes in France. And they both have their benefits, but, you know, I enjoy going to Palma personally. But, yeah, there is some accreditation you need. You need your STC W95 and a powerboat level 2, which is to help. So just so your license to drive the tenders, the smaller boats. And I know you can do them all in bow waves out in Galway. So they'd be able to give you more information on what to expect once you've embarked on this journey, once you've done your certification and arrive in Palma.
Great. Okay. Well, Alec, thanks for talking to us this morning. Intriguing look into the lifestyles of the rich and famous. Good luck with your studies.
All right.
All the best. Thank you so much.